Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. There's a lot of things going on right now with in the world, and Israel's being surrounded, being totally surrounded. And Egypt is on the verge of a explosion. They're talking about this thing called the Hindenburg, where they call an economic situation the Hindenburg, and you could imagine what it, if you had described something happened to the economy, they describe it like the Hindenburg. I mean, do you remember the Hindenburg? What happened to the Hindenburg?
Big air boom.
Yeah,
caught fire.
Yeah, it was expected to travel for quite some time, but just suddenly, suddenly, you know, it caught on fire and exploded in midair and just crashed to the ground. So when you're talking about the economy and the Hindenburg effect, you're talking about what God said to you, right?
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. And a dream about the economy crashing.
Exactly.
Suddenly, within six minutes, something.
Six minutes.
That life, as you know, is going to change. And based on the Blaze is reporting that something like these certain factors have to take place within a certain period of time for history to tell us, then that's when this Hindenburg effect takes place. Well, reportedly, it's being said that this, not only did this thing happen, but it happened like with five times in the short period of time. And it's like, oh my goodness. And when you look at things just logically, you know, after a while you can just assume, you know, I can't believe this boat's still floating. You know, I always thought that you couldn't have a hole in the boat, but we're still floating. And then after a while, you know, we got two holes in the boat and it's floating. The economy I'm talking about. And you've got three holes in the boat and it's pretty soon like we don't even have a bottom to the boat. And somehow we're staying, we're not sinking. And at some point you have to realize this is artificial. This is not real. It's like getting things to a point that there's no hope to float. And all of a sudden the artificially held up boat economy, they pull that veneer off and there's no bottom. And it just goes boom and it just sinks. But we, you know, we can live past that. But understand that you haven't lost your mind. There's things been happening, and we're writing checks that we can't cash, and they're spending more. You know what happens if you spend more money than you have, than you can get? And yes, it does apply to government too. And it is just like, okay, let's just open a new program. Let's borrow more money. You know, let's start a healthcare program and just pay for everybody's healthcare program. Let's do this, let's do that. And it's like, that all requires money. One of the biggest employers, it was reported by CBN News, is the United States government. And the job increases that are being reported, it's reported that these are part-time jobs. They're not even a part-time job for somebody who needs a full-time job for full-time income is not a job. That is a Band-Aid to get something on the table and to keep the lights going as long as you can until you get a job big enough to be able to. But at the same time, the healthcare program, the way that it's being presented, is telling people that did have people working full-time jobs that, I'm sorry, you cannot have the benefits of working full-time here anymore. We're going to cut you back to something approximately 30 hours because you have to be considered part-time. If you're full-time, I have to buy your health care. But if you're part-time, you or the government has to buy your health care, and all we have to do is pay a penalty. So all these people who had their lives kind of lined out and you were being responsible, now they're even in the context of that. It's like, how many more holes are we going to poke in this boat? I want to encourage you, if you have not yet went to VFN-TV and listened or watched Is America Under God's Judgment, and listened or watched or read the prophetic words that are on the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. Just stop. Go there. Read them. Be prepared. Understand that though weeping may endure for the night, joy will come in the morning. Understand that surrender, when we surrender to God, It always is followed by pain, but it eventually produces pleasure. There's nothing sweeter than judgment's aftermath. When you think about a child that's not listening, and you know, they're just all over the map, and you know, you've talked to them till you're blue in the face, and they just got this, I'm just not going to do what you say type thing, and all of a sudden, you know, then there's the confrontation, you're going to have the discipline, and you talk to them about it, and you come down hard on them in regards to the way you do discipline. They're acting like their world is over, you know, but then they humble themselves in that. And all of a sudden, it's like, we have a new home now. Mm. Everybody's happy. The enemy has lost its stronghold and its grip on our family. There's peace again in our home. Mm. But it was surrender, pain, then pleasure.
Mm.
So it's not about, you know, what we're perceiving, what God is about to do and is doing, that get ready for the pain, but understand that we can endure the pain of the suffering, knowing that when we come through this and come out of this, there's going to be pleasure and peace and joy again. What it's going to look like, I mean, the things that God is really showing us and saying prophetically through Chuck Pierce and through Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, through others, and to us, is it's just not going to be the same thing anymore, but it's mm-hmm. going to be God. It's going to be an adjustment take place. I know that sometime back, Johnny Foote is a prophetic friend of mine, that he gave a word about, you know, shifting into the beast economy. And it's real tough because you always have to give these words when everything is going pretty well with everybody. And they're mm-hmm. going like, oh, Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly. I mean, you're looking at the shift take place. Mm-hmm. It's the shift taking place. And with the Bitcoin, right? The
oh,
new
yeah.
digital Bitcoin that has no home.
Mm-hmm.
The United Nations wanting to be able to take over the currency of the new economy, which is the internet. You know, whoever controls that and taxes that mm-hmm. controls the world, right?
Right.
And all these things taking place, it's like things are shifting. These borders, all these borders are just getting in our way, as George Soros said.
Mm.
And when you get these borders down, it's like, that's what's happening in our nation. It's like, did we not care about our borders? We don't mind anybody coming. That's how we all got here. But the thing is, come through the door. You know what I'm saying? Don't come through the window or come under the foundation. Go through the door. You know, go through the way that citizenship's supposed to happen. And we welcome everybody on both sides of the wall. But so many things have been pulled out. And I just want to encourage you, position yourself. Position yourself for the inevitable that's going to take place. And you can do it. There's being caught off balance. When you get caught off balance, I mean, you could have been well prepared, but if you're off balance, you can't catch your, you spend most of your time just trying to, you know, regain your composure. But if you get your feet stable and steadfast, you know, when I was in law enforcement, that you learned that you had to have your feet in a certain way when you're dealing with folks, because if something just suddenly happened, you had to be stable to be able to respond to what was going on. You can't just be standing there ignorantly with your hands in your pocket and,
mm-hmm.
you know, in your head in the sand. You had to be ready. You very seldom would anything happen. But the times it did happen, you could survive it because you were prepared for the possibilities. This is what Proverbs says. This is what God's word says. You know, a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it, but a fool keeps on going and suffers for it.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, understand there's no bottom to the boat right now. There are so many, don't think about holes being poked in it, but it is floating. You're absolutely right.
Mm.
It is floating. But when you look at what, $18 billion a month being, you know, printed and loaned to the
Reserve,
Federal Reserve, and us borrowing it back from them and backing it with foreign dollars, that is what we put people in jail for. You know,
crazy.
That's like Ponzi schemes and stuff. Wow. You know what I'm saying? We gotta go to the federal prisons and start loosing people that was involved in Ponzi schemes, people
no
that floated notes, people that borrowed money and promised a return and never gave it back and lived off of that, because that's what our government appears to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's an economist right now from San Diego saying that, according to Fox, that the government is lowballing the public for years about how much debt it actually has. You know, they've been saying that we're in $17 trillion worth of debt, but he says in real estimation, it's about $70 trillion in debt.
Say 70?
70, 7-0, because they're not including other unfunded liabilities.
Unfunded liabilities?
Government loan guarantees, deposit insurance, they're saying. And so they're not reporting what's really real. In September, everyone's coming back to Congress to vote and get a new budget. But this is serious.
Mm-hmm.
He says $70 trillion, but there's other economists that are saying that it's really like $200 trillion.
Yeah.
But they're only saying that the debt is $17 trillion.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Catch a clue.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing you got to understand is that if my goal and my plan is to reset the world economy, to transfer wealth from those who have to those who don't have or have less. So to be able, some of the quotes that have been said by our leaders are, you know, our wages will have to decrease so that others can go up. There's a limited amount of funds in the world economy. So you have to, some people, for them to be paid more, then others have to be paid less. And being a believer, by the way, that's exactly what Paul said. You know, Paul said, I'm not taking from you so you don't have, I'm taking from you so that others can have also, and everybody can have equality in the context of their lives. And so as a Christian, we don't just jump in and take capitalism and hit somebody over the head with it while they're making T-shirts for us for 50 cents and we're selling them for $10. You know, there needs to be, as a Christian, we got to have a biblical perspective of what's going on. And nothing happens outside God allowing it. But capitalism has brought more people. As a matter of fact, I wish I had it right now. Maybe we'll have it tomorrow or next week is Bono. Bono is speaking at Georgetown University, and I saw this sometime back on C-SPAN, and they're talking about it now a little bit, month or so later, that he, who has worked overboard and worked overtime in seeking governments to help people come out of poverty. He's the one that started that red. You buy bread, and then they give percentage of the money towards AIDS and helping people get healed from AIDS. And just
this is Bono from YouTube, right?
Bono from YouTube. But he's quote, I watched him make this quote, and I was wondering why nobody picked up on it, you know, some time back. But he said, capitalism, despite all the things that have been done, and he's just no telling how many hundreds of millions, a billion probably, he's gotten for people. He's done it through governments, just demanding governments do something, but it's not working. He says, capitalism has brought more people out of poverty than anything else in the world. That's huge coming from a liberal, you think, mindset at Georgetown University, where they teach people the opposite of that. At Georgetown, it's reported they teach the opposite of that. And Bono comes in there and just says, I can't believe I'm saying this. Hopefully we'll have this next week. You can hear it. This is good. And not only that, but even this actor, Ashton Kutcher. Who?
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, he's speaking to a whole bunch of teens, and he's telling him, listen, because they're honoring him for something. And he says, I've always had a job. I had a job washing dishes. I had a job when I didn't have that job. I had a job sweeping Cheerio dust off the floor. And then I went from that job, I went to a bakery. And he listed, he says, I never left the job unless I had another job. I always had a job. If you want to be successful, you're going to have to work. It's going to require work.
I mean,
and it's sort of like, and then, you know, things are surfacing now. We're beginning to see, it's like people's eyes are beginning to open up. I mean, when the liberals are seeing, I mean, this is what Jesus said. He said that people in the world can see clearer sometimes than you guys. They can see the signs. They understand the seasons and the times. And those who had the liberal mindset, they're beginning to even say, listen, hard work and the gift that God's given us in America in regards to capitalism submitted to God and done the right way in humility before the Lord, bringing God back in the center of what we're doing again, is done more for the world than any other economy, any other government in the history of all creation. That's a huge statement. That's a huge statement. And Bono has just spent his life in trying to bring help to the poor and empowering them. And he's done it through stimulus monies, which we're familiar with the mindset. And it hasn't done it. It just doesn't do it. But capitalism, I mean, you think of it, he's able to do it because he went and sold records, sang songs, through capitalism. I mean, he's made money and seen that kind of thing, although he's not an American. but he's made money off of his product that's going on. But he's sitting here at Georgetown University and making that statement. And you start seeing that, you start seeing that, and it's just amazing. Amazing that it's like, wow, it's refreshing to think. We're starting to see the right things begin to unfold. And the original intention of our nation and our founding fathers are beginning to come back. Listen, church, we need to wake up. And we're the ones who bring in the light into this. Because the answer is not about how you handle money. The answer is how you handle God. How your heart is towards the Lord. How you acknowledge Him. And how you handle your increase with Him, and how we honor Him and put Him in the center of our nation and in the center of our lives. And when we do that, then God will begin to bless a nation. And we need the blessing of God back again on America. I sense in my spirit as we're talking about, even though we're going to, you know, first surrender happens where we just go, God, here I am. We turn our lives over to Him. Pain will happen next because if not, we end up right back where we were. You have to go through the transition of dying to yourself and laying things down. But then pleasure comes. Mm-hmm. There's nothing sweeter than judgment's aftermath. Well, you think about the 60s. In 1960, where the tragedies that took place, you know, America was in an uprising. People were crying out for revolution. They were saying they wanted to stop the war. They were marching in the streets. Abortion was becoming rising to the sacrifice to Moloch was rising in the nation. Things were looking really rough. 1963, November 22nd, our president was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. And then you think about it, then in 1968, April the 4th, 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King, an apostle of God, I believe, that was leading our nation to where we are today, was assassinated. Mm. And then Robert Kennedy in June 6, 1968, the same year, 1968, that the brother of the president, who was the attorney general with the president then at the time, was assassinated. I mean, it was just, we had people that were coming into federal buildings and blowing them up and bringing bombs in, and they were saying that they wanted to do away. It was just tragedy. Like, all these things were taking place. But you know what? There was about to be a breakthrough. And I never saw this before. But there was this group, you might have heard this group before. The group was called the Beatles. And the Beatles wrote a song, and this particular song was called Revolution. And this song was released in 1968, it was released August the 26th, 1968. August the 26th, 1968 is when it was released. So you think about it. In 68, we had the assassination of this man of God, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We had the assassination of Robert Kennedy, June the 6th, 1968. And you can even see when Robert Kennedy was on the campaign trail and they're speaking into his ear what had happened to Dr. King and how distraught. Mm-hmm. You know, here his brother has been assassinated, his friend's been assassinated, and now it was just moments away before these folks who were bringing this, trying to stir this evil up and trying to turn in this nation in on itself and do away with it. The Beatles released a song, and it was called, you know, and like I always say, I didn't listen to any words to any songs until I was in my 40s, and I'm still beginning to listen to them, but this song was released in August the 26th of 1968.
Yeah.
So you're looking just a few months after Dr. King, a few months after Robert Kennedy and all the 60s and the bombings. And let me tell you the words. This is the words. And this will ring a bell for today. This is what they're singing. And what is the Beatle? This is the Beatle that wrote this song was...
John Lennon.
Yeah, McCartney. John Lennon. Exactly. John Lennon. And I think I was stationed there in Brooklyn during that time that he was killed out on the streets out there. But listen to the song. It's called Revolution. It says... You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? I mean, think about it. This is the Beatles saying, you want to destroy things? You want to destroy America? Mm. You want to destroy the original intent of our nation? And he's responding. I mean, all this destruction is going on. So John Lennon wrote a lot of these songs. He's writing this song in response to what's happening in that day. And I'm thinking, man, this liberal dude, he got it. He's like, why do you want to destroy the very nation that did? It was when they came to America, they became, you know, popular.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and the lyrics go on and says, don't you know it's going to be all right? And it's going to be all right. You say, you got a real solution. Well, you know, we don't love to see the plan. In other words, we don't want to see your solution. Mm-hmm. You ask me for a contribution. Well, you know, we're doing what we can. But if you want money, but if you want, I have everybody reading it now. Here, look at me. Okay, there you go. You're desperately looking at it. He says, but if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, that you're going to have to wait. This is the Beatles to get it. Mm. The Beatles were getting it. They were saying they wanted money from the Beatles to be able to fund their rebel against government, rebel against the Constitution. And he's going, listen, you're going to have to wait, boo. You want money from me, ain't going to happen. And he says, don't you know it's going to be all right? You say you'll change the Constitution.
Mm.
But think about it. This is like history repeats itself. And what are we facing? We're facing people wanting to change the Constitution. And John Lennon's writing about it in a song called Revolution that he released in this tragic year of 1968 in the 60s and all these things going on. And he's saying, you saying you want to change the Constitution. Well, you know, we all want to change your head. Think about it. You want to change the Constitution. We just want to change your head. We want to change your mind. You tell me it's the institution, right? Know what they say? It's the institution. Well, you know, you better free your mind instead. But if you are going to carry pictures of Chairman Mao, what's happening today?
Wow.
If you're going to carry pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't going to make it with anyone anyhow.
Mm.
Mm. John Lennon understood what we don't even understand today.
Mm.
I mean, this is like a revolution. You're asking for a revolution. You know, you always sing those songs, but you never listen. I never, you know, the lyrics. I'm just now looking at the lyrics. Don't you know he's telling these folks, don't you know it's going to be all right? You don't have to change this Constitution. Listen, if you are wearing pictures and carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, and today there are people who are wearing T-shirts with Chairman Mao on it who massacred tons of people. He said, listen, ain't nobody going to be with you anyway.
Mm.
And I thought, my goodness. And that's what I can imagine when Jesus was talking to disciples. He said, listen, the world understands the seasons and the time, and my own people don't even understand it. John Lennon understood it. And this is what this means. If we'll understand and we'll hold fast and not get tired and stand up for God and our country, and it's not wrong to stand up for our Constitution. That's what gives us the right to exist as a nation and a country under God's leadership. And to be constitutionally correct is not to be wrong. It's actually to be right in regards to whatever country you're in. And this is our Constitution. And our Constitution says very specifically how things are. We're a representative government. It's a government by the people and for the people. And we're the ones that choose people from among us to be able to go represent us. And the 530-some-odd people that we asked to go to Washington, D.C. are representative government. And so we're supposed to hold them accountable to the context of the values that we stand for. And so we as a people say, you know, I don't think we want to be able to kill children anymore. I just don't, you know, 55 million children, I don't think, plus children that have been murdered in the womb. I don't think we can do that as a people. We can do that as a people. When we stand up and begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, exactly like he says in his word, we can do that. That's the First Amendment. When we gather and we assemble peacefully to be able to worship and to just share our grievances, to be even to petition the government. That's called the First Amendment. When the press writes stories that we don't necessarily like, but they're doing their best to be able to figure things out, that's called First Amendment rights. When you carry a gun and to protect yourself and to protect your family and to go hunting or whatever, and you possess a gun and you're, you know, you're within the law of possessing that gun, that's Second Amendment rights. When somebody is trying to look in your pockets and look in your car and all this kind of stuff, but they step outside and they say, I can't do this without your permission. They ask you, can I search your car? Can I search your house? The reason why they do that, because that's the Fourth Amendment. If there wasn't a Fourth Amendment, they would just tell you to get out of the car. I was talking to a man the other day, and things have changed so much, and people do not understand the Constitution, that they automatically are buying into what they perceive it is. And he was talking about an officer that he'd went out and he pulled out, he picked his friend up around 1 o'clock in the morning. He's a family man, and you're an American. You can pick your family up anytime you want to. You can actually go to your car in your carport anytime you want to, by the way. If you missed yesterday, you need to hear it. And he got pulled over and it seemed kind of suspicious to the officer. Okay, fine. And the officer pulls him over, finishes all of his work, and then the officer asks the question, well, you don't have any illegal weapons or contraband or drugs in your car. And, of course, the response, by the way, you know, is if you don't have any, he's like,
no,
right? Of course, then you think about, who have I been riding in my car?
Right, right.
And I know I just picked up, I mean, it could be a family member, you know, and I was like, that's right. Just because of the family, don't mean. Anyway, so in the context of that, and he's like, well, no. And he said, well, then do you mind if I can search your car? And then he said this. He says, I know if I say no, then that's probable cause for him to search my car. That's not true.
Mm.
Probable cause to believe that a crime is being committed or is about to be committed. There has to be evidence for it. When you say no, you're exercising your Fourth Amendment rights, and the officer would have to step back. And you're free to go. They have to this is what the laws have ruled, that you have to know you're free to go before you voluntarily say you can violate my Fourth Amendment rights. But mm-hmm. I have to give you that right. So if an officer asks you, can I search your car or your house or your pockets or whatever? And then let's just step back from pockets for a moment. And, you know, you're legal, you're just driving down the road or whatever, and you're stopped. And it's the fact that he stopped you, and that's what he or she believes that is something, you know, suspicious vehicle, that's within their rights to do that. But they have to let you go. Once they get to the point to realize that you haven't violated the law, this is not what I thought it was. And, but if they ask you the question, can I search your car? Your answer can be whatever you want it to be, because you have a constitutional right for that not to take place. You know, when I was an officer, I would ask the question, but I would tell them these words. They were very specific words. You are free to go. You're totally free to go. And I would even turn to walk away to let them know they're free to go. And then I would turn back if I felt like there was something probably that needed to be done. And I would ask the question. And some people would say yeah, and some would say no. But if they said no, I would go get my car and I would leave.
Hmm. Yeah.
I would just get my car and I'd leave. Why? Because the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution tells the officers and whoever else, but it definitely tells the officers that do not search my things or stuff without a probable cause to believe a crime is or about to be committed, or you have a search warrant from a judge that a judge has reviewed what you're thinking and has signed it, and you have to begin to look for, and hopefully there's a related article if you're listening to this on The Torch, in regards to the Fourth Amendment, to understand that, because I'm not going to go into that. It has to be so specific. That's what it says in the Fourth Amendment. It has to be so specific to be able to look for it. And
you know, this just happened with the stop and frisk.
Well, now the stop and frisk, I was going to say, it's a whole different in the context of, I know that it went that way, but there's really, it depends which state you're in.
Well, New York just said, the judge said it was unconstitutional. It just came out just a couple days ago.
Yeah. And but the officer, I mean, there's, it depends. Was it a state judge? Was it the federal judge? Was it the Supreme Court? I mean, the Supreme Court ruling has ruled that if you have a suspicious...
It was a U.S. district judge.
Well, stop and frisk. This is the difference. Stop and frisk is just they see you and pat you down. But if I am perceiving that you are a danger or you're loitering or that type of thing, and then I stop to talk to you, I can pat you down as an officer, whoever the officer can, just for weapons at that point, to make sure, because I'm talking to you, that I'm not in danger, that something's going to happen. I can't search for drugs. and these type of things like that. So there's stop and frisk would be just stop and frisk you,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is to pat you down. But if I'm interviewing you as an officer, and that's why you see officers ask you to step out of the car, you know, these different things, because they're protecting their safety. So they still can don't think that the officer, you know, pats the outside of your pockets, that he's violated that aspect of it, because it could be he's just making sure that you're not going to whip a knife out or a type of thing out. And if you have a weapon on you anyway, the best thing to do is first thing you do is say, hey, I just want to hold your hands in the air and just say that, you know, I have a licensed weapon or a concealed weapon on my body, a knife or something of that nature. But just stopping you out of the middle of nowhere is violating your Fourth Amendment rights. Just, and they were, New York's getting all weird with X-ray machines and
well, that's what
shooting.
I said. Yeah, I
mean, was that the issue?
Well, that was the thing. Was the judge said it was unconstitutional?
Well, that's not stopping. That's stopping X-ray. I mean, there was X-ray people.
Well, and I'm talking specifically about a stop and frisk.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Bloomberg was saying that he believed that this was being, you know, helpful and stopping people and frisking them. But the judge just flat out said, listen, no matter how successful this program has been in stopping crime, it's unconstitutional.
Unless you're getting on the airline.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how effective it is. And it just came out, it's just like...
What if you're getting, if you're Kennedy Airport or LaGuardia and you're getting on to an aircraft?
The full, yeah, that's amazing.
That's right. I think this is, you're frisking me. You're frisking me. There's understand the two things in the context of that, I believe... That they were just, they felt, let's just hit the streets and begin to just do a checkpoint and just check anybody we wanted to check without any reason, any probable cause.
Well, they
or whatever.
Said it was a lot of it was involved was a racial profiling. They said a large percentage, 80% of the people that were
right
being pulled over and stopped and frisked were
wow,
were minorities. It was huge.
Wow. Okay, then that's exactly right. That is a whole other ball of wax and. Thank God they stopped that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thank God they stopped
that. No doubt.
We just read the lyrics from John Lennon and his song, A Revolution, that happened in the 60s. And we're facing the very same. Remember what happened in the 60s? Then we went right into the 70s. And that's when the President Jimmy Carter was president. And all of a sudden we had an oil shortage. We had gas lines that were going all around the country. And because we talked about in the first hour, that's when the Netherlands began to explore the idea of some other form of transport. And here we are again. Mm. Here we are again. And, you know, whoever thought a beetle, you know, actually would. And he was responding to what's taking place. And the Constitution protects you as long as it's there. And God protects you outside of the whole context of that. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to stand up for the Constitution. I mean, I don't know how many people did Mao kill.
Mm. I have no idea, but it's a whole
ton. It's like 100 million or something. It's like just,
wow.
I mean, just, can you find out what the total was? I mean, you would wear a shirt. You would wear a shirt of a man who murdered his own people, that many of his people.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to, based on my understanding of history, was to... unfold his new form of governing.
Yeah.
A new transformation was going to take place, and those dissident voices were going to have to be done away with. Mm. So that this new thing, and so it required lots of... And there's folks that say very specifically that, you know, that there's a certain amount of people, if America will do away with who we are now... and become what some people think is a utopia or some sort of socialistic, communistic form of government, there's some people, their mindset, some of the words that they're saying, reportedly, the very same thing Mao said. Mm. There's a certain number of people that will have to die because there'll be dissident voices, you know. They'll say things like, you know, not to speak is to speak. To be silent in the face of evil is evil itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who said that?
Martin Luther King.
Yeah, Dr. King said that, but also in Germany.
Adolf Hitler?
No.
Bonhoeffer?
That's right. Bonhoeffer said it in regards to Adolf Hitler.
Mm.
And he was wanting to change the form of the nation, what was going on. And so standing up for the Constitution is a godly thing. You know, God allowed our country to rise. The Declaration of Independence lets us know that the reason why we began our independence was because we believe that all men are created equal. It took us a journey to get there, and we have a lot of scars because of it. But thank God that we made it this far. But tomorrow is not guaranteed if we leave the original intent of God for this nation. We leave our viewpoint of Israel, and we leave the acknowledgement of God, that God raises the nation and brings the nation down.
Yeah, I believe it's 40 to 70 million.
40 to 70 million people, according to
what's shared right now on the internet. Also, they said through starvation and execution. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and it was to be able to this new form of the red book. The book.
Well, the same thing they did with Che Guevara. You know, they're wearing that T-shirt with, you see him with the guy with the beret in his head, but they came to liberate, quote-unquote, Cuba, and they took over and were killing all sorts of people. I mean, just murdering them, killing them.
And, you know, so being constitutional, you know, learn your constitution, you know, sort of like, you know, being a Christian where you're saying, you know, they don't need to take the Ten Commandments out of the whatever. But you don't even know what they are. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just, you know, that's, you're not being genuine. You're not being authentic. You're being religious.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know what they are, you're getting there. Then if you know what Jesus did for us because of them, and you've surrendered your life to God through his son in the context of that, and you're standing up saying, listen, we need God integrated in our culture. We need to acknowledge him in every part of what we're doing. Then you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're realizing we can't do this thing without God. But if you're criticizing somebody for taking down the Ten Commandments when you don't even know what they are, and you don't even know that if we live by them outside Jesus Christ, we die by them because every one of us have violated those laws. But it's a form of the law of God and of nature's God, that these are things that will hold us into a format that we can survive as a nation. In the same light, in regards to the Constitution, if you say, listen, these guys are wanting to change the Constitution, or these guys over here, or whoever's wanting to change our Constitution, then you need to know the Constitution. And what we're finding out, what I'm finding out personally, is I need to know more about it. I need to learn more about it. You know, we're talking about, you know, what is the 15th Amendment? Well, that's pretty important if you're a person of color, you know, in regards to how the racial inequalities that was taking place in this land. That's the 15th Amendment, which means 14 other ones. You know, people say, well, what about the First Amendment? Well, listen, the First Amendment meant nothing to me until the 15th came along, because you didn't allow me. You didn't allow me to gather. You didn't allow me to have those freedoms. Mm-hmm. And so you can understand how important the whole Constitution is. I mean, you had to go 14 times before you got to me and said that the First Amendment applies to me, that the Fourth Amendment applies to me, the Second Amendment applies to me, the Fifth Amendment applies to me, right?
Right.
Right.
But it does. And so we need to understand all that, you know, and what it is. So I encourage you to get a pocket copy of the Constitution and learn it. So then when you do say, hey, you know, this is very good stuff. There's a reason why the officer doesn't search me, is because I have constitutional rights. There's a reason why they're having elections, because I'm supposed to vote for somebody to go down to represent me, which I need to find out what their values are. And if these people, whoever, stands for what your value system is, then that's whoever you can, you know, support, because they stand for your values. You know, we're value-based voters. We should be, you know, they value God, they value our Constitution, they value equal rights for everyone. They value, you know, God's perspective of creation, which includes taking care of people. I mean, hey, that type of thing. This is values. But you need to understand when you read the Constitution, oh, I'm supposed to go vote.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to go vote. Mm-hmm. And when you become a citizen, we had a, hopefully you can see this, but you can see this on the VFN Torch, but we took the citizenship test ourselves.
That's right.
It's 100 humiliating questions that we realized that new citizens of America who just became a citizen have to know these 100 things, or at least an 80% or something on it, to become an American citizen. And they know more about America. The one that people are criticizing, listen, they did it the right way. They came to the door. They studied our country. They learned about our country, which is going to be their country. They took the test about our country. They committed. They took an oath. They raised their hand and said, I'll be loyal to this nation. And now they are one of us. They're part of, they're an American. And by the way, when you take the test and you can find it on the VFN torch, you know, we had a lot of fun with it because outside of that, we've been a lot of tears and humiliation. Mm-hmm. That we realize these guys know more than us because that's fresh on their mind. We got a chance to take it for granted because so many people had fought for this Constitution, laid in their life for it, and it's been so blessed by God that you can stay ignorant for a long time in a blessed nation until all of a sudden it's not blessed no more. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still learning. I'm still carrying. I got bent pages on my copy of it. And I encourage you, what it costs you, it's a little small little booklet you can get on Amazon.com. Maybe you can find it on the VFN Torch, a copy of it. But where you can carry it around and just kind of pull it out and read it. Maybe you can download a version of it, an app or something on your mobile device. But you need to know the Constitution because, first of all, why would you say don't change something you don't even know what it is? Maybe it does need to be changed. I mean, if we're stuck at the 14th Amendment and the 15th haven't come yet, and I'm a person of color, I'm saying, I think it still needs changing. There needs to be an amendment to this Constitution. So learn it so we can stand for it and mean it and do what our founding fathers intended for us and what God blessed, the original intent of this nation.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.